saws, shovels,
that's a good question.
Wrenches.
Yeah, you can't just you can't take the whole project's supplies and just stick them on site at the same time. It's probably very rare.
Yeah.
Maybe some of these factories built out in the middle of fields and nowhere.
Yeah, they got them all stored up there.
It's interesting. I noticed in I visited a lot of different plants in different countries, and a lot of them build just outside of the city limits, and they'll have, I don't know, they use hectares most other places, but basically like half a hectare is an acre, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's common to see 50 or 100 hectares for one building, and they're so big, like I could envision that for that project, they probably built that thing in much shorter amount of time, because each crew probably was able to store everything there on site.
Yeah.
I don't have a question.
And we do that. we do that with, with trailers and stuff. You know, we a lot of times on a big job, we'll carry a trailer in and we store tools and stuff in there. And you know, also, you know, stuff that are highly sought after, you know, like copper and brass, you know, we can't be running back and forth, so we keep under lock and key in trailers and connexes.
I was going to say, you got to keep that stuff locked up, especially the copper. Probably the brass, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, especially these days.
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah.
Yep.
You ever had a trailer stolen from a job site?
Not a trailer, no. We've had some trailers broken into.
Broken into, but the trailer itself stayed there.
Yep.
That's something, I guess.
But most of the time, we got equipment stuff parked around them.
We can't get to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How effective are those safety toolboxes I see on all the trucks?
They're pretty good. I mean, yeah, they can be, but they got the holes in there, you know, where you got those recessed locks.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really get in there to cut the lock bolt.
Yeah, you have to tear the bed off pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's in a deserted area.
But the best way,
nobody around.
Some muscle.
Best way to do it is take your grinder and just grind the hinges off of it and flip it open.
Yeah.
For everyone listening.
So what you've heard.
Yeah, what you've heard.
I saw those fancy new tools you had out there, Jeff.
They're nice. Just got them.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a grinder blade on bar. I've used all that. I went through four of them yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm happy for you because someone broke into my trailer last week and stole all my tools.
So is that something that you see maybe less experienced project managers or crew chiefs, you know, they forget to supply their guys with the appropriate tools?
Well, it's hit or miss. I mean, yes, I've got other contractor stuff I've talked to before. When I say contractors, they're field guys. And, you know, they'll comment on site, you know, like, y'all carry that stuff on your truck all the time? Well, yeah, most of the time, yeah, we do. And, I mean, I wish our guys, our employer would let us do that. So, you know, we get out here and find out, we need this, we need that. We got to run back to the shop. We got to go to the hardware store and buy it or, you know, whatever it may be. And, generally it's a foreman running down the road getting the stuff. Well, when the cat's away, the mice will play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you got the highest paid guy on the site. Running up and down the road.
And so, it's costly on several different levels. You know, one thing, you got wear and tear on your vehicle going down the road, wasting gas, wasting tires, wasting valuable time. And not only that, you got a whole crew that's sitting there for an hour, hour and a half, twiddling their thumbs. That's costing, you probably got $110 to $150 an hour in your crew just waiting on the foreman to get back with the tools they need to do the job.
Look, Jeff, you're only human. And so are they. Are robots going to take over the construction industry?
They are in certain levels. I mean, we talked about, robot bricklayers a while ago.
A robot bricklayer.
Yeah. I've seen them in action.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Up in Goodlettsville about 4 or 5 years ago, a big school project we did up there. And a little intensive as far as setting up. It takes a couple of days to get it set up.
Yeah.
But once it's set up, I mean, You couldn't have a crew of 20 men to lay brick as quick as that thing did.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is it just like infrared? Like it shoots a line? And it just...
I don't know all the details to it, but yes, once you get it set up, and it knows how thick your bricks are, how thick a mortar joint you want, and, it
calibrates that. And
all you got to do is you just got to keep putting brick on a machine, and keep feeding it mortar. It does all the work. Two guys can feed the machine.
What about dirt work? Are robots being used in dirt work at all?
I haven't seen them.
But you've heard.
I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them in action. I have watched them online, like in Japan. They've got robotic, you know, dozers. Haven't seen excavators, but I have seen like dozers and track loaders and stuff of that nature.
Wow.
Cabless machines out there running. And I think they've got some of the stuff. Cabless machines, yeah.
So there's no human intervention then.
Just got a rover sitting on top of it, like a GPS rover.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Have you ever seen a robot lay pipe?
No. Yeah, I've seen some guys come in stoned at like robots and try to. Yeah.
See some of that action.
Well, I was just curious.
But no, I mean,
it's really enlightening me.
I know it's coming. You know, eventually.
You're probably right.
You know, what kind of expense are you looking at? You know, what's it going to be? How long is it going to take you to revamp savings? You know, we've got an ever-growing population in our wonderful president we have now. Just keep letting people come in on the droves, you know, by the droves across our border. Population continues to grow. At some point, you know, if you keep cutting out labor jobs and need for people, who's gonna make a living for those people? Who's gonna keep them up? I mean, I know that we taxpayers are keeping up a vast majority of them right now, and I don't like it. Never will like it. But the more jobs we tend to take away from people, you know, yeah, it may save this industry or this company, you know, money down the road, but it's going to take years and years and years to revamp your initial cost, and then you're driving people out of work that the government or us taxpayers have got to keep up, which if the government keeps them up, we're keeping them up anyway.
Have you ever worked on a job site where during the construction phase itself, security was extremely tight?
Yes. Yes, we've been on some military-type bases where security is very tight. We've worked at Fort Campbell, worked up at Oak Ridge, different places, you know, we've been in. And even there's some different levels of security, like, you know, if you go up to like the General Motors plant, the old Saturn plant,
mm-hmm.
you got certain levels of security there, Nissan plant, certain levels of security there. A lot more than you would have in just any other place, but it's... And a lot of places, you know, and which is good, like if you're working on, say you've got a school building, and say they're adding on to it, it's an actual school, you're working during school hours, you have to go through extensive background checks for your employees, you know, to make mm-hmm. sure you don't have some kind of pedophile or something, you know, you're turning there, you know, on a schoolyard with kids.
Sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, there are a lot of security steps and measures that you go through, depending on where you're at, some a lot heavier than others. And there's certain places that, you know, when you go into work, you only got certain times that you can work in these areas because, you know, it's like at Oak Ridge, for instance, you know, it's top secret stuff. And, you know, we couldn't see in it. We couldn't be around it until certain times of the day. And then we mm-hmm. could go in that area and work.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that something generally that's part of the bid package or your GC makes you aware of?
It's up
so
front,
many required hours of training.
Yeah. And prisons. You know, I've done a couple prison jobs. And, I mean, it's... We talked about making sure your trucks and stuff have adequate tools, but by God, you want to make sure that you got just exactly what you need, because every morning when you go in, that truck gets tore down, all your tools come out.
You have to list everything.
You got to list everything, and then you get checked when you come back out to make sure everything's there. It's sometimes it's an hour and a half deal to get in, an hour and a half get out.
Yeah, I deal with that at factories when I go into them. We have a, you know, it's nice to have your bag of tools, which.
Yeah.
You know, all-purpose tools, you know. Big bag, maybe mm-hmm. get your roll-along. But on a lot of those jobs, you know, when you start filling out that sheet of paper mm-hmm. and you're there for 45 minutes to an hour filling out, and then you got to do it on your way back out, mm-hmm. it's a real pain in the butt.
You can't just snap a photo of it with your phone and then on your way out, just pull it out.
They won't go for that. Yeah.
And every compartment you got on that truck, I mean – some places you think it'd be impossible for someone to fit in there, but they won't see every nook and cranny and make sure no one hiding in there trying to get out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty, some of the prison stuff is pretty intense. You know, we've got excavators, fuel consuming, hydraulic using excavators that work on the ocean floor with a operator with scuba gear on.
Yeah. You've shown me videos of that before.
You actually land, like, you know, like telecommunication line and stuff across the ocean floor.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah.
You can generate more torque with an electric motor than you can like a combustion
engine. That's true, yeah.
But why? I still don't understand. Of course, I know why. It'd be too easy. Nuclear energy is the most efficient and long-lasting fuel source that we've got in the world. Look at these submarines that run for months and months and months on nuclear energy. And they turn electric turbines.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. But it runs off nuclear energy.
Why aren't we utilizing this technology?
I have no idea. And we've got nuclear out of
because of the concern, like when you have a...
Oh, the
radiation.
Power plant radiation meltdown. Yeah. Like the environmental damage and concerns there are... Well, they're serious concerns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all want to breathe in chemicals that kill us.
Well, it's not even breathing it. It's the radiation exists and just permeates the environment. Like where we drop the atomic bombs.
Yeah.
That land is dead for how many thousands of years. Yeah. Nothing will grow there.
Yeah.
What about the guy in the 50s, I can't remember his name now, that invented the hydrogen engine, cars that run on water? He mysteriously died.
He
was murdered. He was murdered.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That didn't surprise me at all.
Well, another thing, why can't you make a vehicle that's self-sufficient? You know, these electric cars, there's generators. Generators charge batteries. Put a, just like an alternator, charge your battery going down the road. Put something like on the damn wheel that, you know, like you got another wheel that sits on top of your tire. As it turns, it generates. It may not keep you fully charged, but it gets you like three or four times further.
Yeah, the difficulty with that is, so you would create that, you would generate that power with magnets, and the magnets create resistance. So even your alternator, there's a very finite amount of resistance that it uses to charge up your battery. But if you wanted to create something like a perpetual motion machine, we have yet to invent anything like that, because anytime you have a transfer of energy, there's going to be a loss. And so that's why it cannot self-sustain.
But it could prolong.
It could prolong, mm-hmm. yes. But
like if you get 8 hours out of a charge, just say, if you know you can drive 8 hours, you got to recharge, you might get 12, 14 hours. If you just, even like with a windmill type thing, like if you had something on your hood, under your hood, to collect the air as you drove down the road to turn a turbine that would produce energy to charge your batteries, it may, like I said, may not keep them at a full capacity, but charge them enough to get you a little further down the road.
But the question then that you'd have to answer is the resistance caused by this wind turbine or caused by using magnets to generate the power?
Cost more energy.
Does that cost more energy than it would take to sustain itself?
I don't know.
Because, like, you know, if you imagine your car and, you know, to continue or to remain at 70 miles per hour is fairly simple unless you go up a hill.
Yeah.
But when you add that resistance, it's like you're going up a hill. So you're going to have to apply more power just to sustain that same velocity. So, I mean, that's why you don't see that.
That's why drafting was so popular in NASCAR.
Yes. It's free energy.
Yeah. Free energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're using somebody else's energy.
That's right.
All right. You ready to record one, Jerry?
Oh, we've been going.
Oh, we've been going.
Getting all kind of fascinating. Scientologies.
That's right.
Scientologies.
Hell, you want to know physics? You come to Prophet Day. We talk about a little bit of everything.
Once upon a time, I did a lot of physics.